Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Well, it's over. We're going to be talking about Game 6 this season, which has ended, in the future, on this Monday, Locked On Celtics. Milt, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Woo! This the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I am their Boston Celtics beat reporter. Here, after the Boston Celtics lose Game 6 to the Miami Heat, 125-113 in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, the Boston Celtics season is over. So raise a glass, say a toast, pour a little out, however you want to do it. The Boston Celtics season. The 1920 season, I was going to say the 2021, almost went into 2021, season is done. It's over. In this show, obviously I'm not going to do a full post-game good, bad, getting into the nitty-gritty of this game. Who cares at this point? Like, who cares? Not that deep. I'm going to talk about the game in segment one. In segment two, a little broader look at the season. Segment three, the future. Looking ahead to what this team could be. So let's start with this game. Again, 125-113. The Celtics give up a 26-6 run to close out the game. They were outscored in the fourth quarter, 37-27. They had a lead of 6 points with about 5 points. No, it was 6 points. 9:15 to go. Jaylen Brown lays it in. It's 96-90. And I'm starting to think, here we go. The Celtics are going to do this. Now I'm writing the recap on Mass Live. And let me let you in. We are one of the outlets that writes what we call a buzzer recap, which means game is over, and somewhere within that aftermath of the game being over, I'm publishing a story that is a recap of that game. We, different outlets have different formats, so I am writing as I go along. Every timeout in the, basically throughout the game, I'm writing a few sentences. And a game like this, if you're really trying to write a full, in-depth, recap, trying to really capture the essence of this game, it's really great if the game can be decided at somewhere around the 9:15 mark, because you got to think of a headline. At least we do at Mass Live. You got to think of a headline. You got to start writing a little intro. You got to start really analyze. Okay, so what went right? What went wrong? So I'm starting to think, 96-90, they look good. They were finally getting stops. They were getting those runouts. I mean, really, it seemed like right after Daniel Theis fouled out and they put Grant Williams in and they were able to switch everything, they really started to ramp up the defense, get those runouts. And I thought, okay, this looks like the difference in this game. Let me start kind of like I'm looking for a picture. might highlight. When you see it, what happened goes along with the story. I'm starting to get into that mode. Then all of a sudden, Tyler Hero hits a three. Tyler Hero hits another pull up. Adebayo starts taking over. When Adebayo dribbled and hit a pull up jumper, the one that fouled out Theis, I was like, oh, maybe I should wait. And as that fourth quarter went on, and the Celtics were starting to fall into that habit of the missed threes. three-pointer after three-pointer. I said, okay, nope, this is not going to end well. And so I'm watching the Celtics kind of shoot their way out of this game. And it was the same thing that we saw in the third quarter of, was it game two, when they're outscored 37-17. Same thing. I mean, you're outscored by 20 points over a stretch that, yeah, that's a hell of a run for the other team to go on. It was the same thing. And it's frustrating because when the Celtics were at their best, first of all, they're defending, but it's hard to defend. It's hard to get back in transition and defend when the other team's running at you all, you know, the way they were. It's hard to defend Bam Adebayo the way he was playing. I mean, man, that dude really took over that game in the fourth quarter. And it's hard for them to break out of this rut of trying to get it all back. And it goes back to the same thing. I'm sure every Celtics podcast will reference the Brad Stevens hitting singles versus hitting, you know, home runs. They were trying for home runs in the fourth quarter. And they swung and missed. And Miami got the ball and ran out and put the game away. And that's when the Celtics were at their worst. That's exactly what happened. When they're at their best, they were driving. They were dishing. The Celtics, I don't mind that they took the amount of three-pointers that they took. I don't mind that they shot 46 of them. I really don't. At one point, they were shooting 50% on their threes. But drive, attack, collapse the defense, kick it out. Work the ball around, get it to an open guy. But why? So why are the Celtics, why did they fall into that trap? Why? That's the question. Why would they do that? And it's hard to say in the moment. Like, we have the luxury of sitting at home and watching on TV and asking these questions of ourselves, of them. And I have the luxury of watching the game and, like, stopping and rewinding and rewatching and analyzing and, oh, he should have done this. Oh, he should have done that. It's a lot different in the heat of the moment where you feel the pressure of your season slipping away and you're, I don't know, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, and you think to yourself, I've got this open shot and we're working really, really hard against this Miami defense to get this open shot, okay? Why don't I just take it when it's open? We're down. We need to get shots up. I'm open. I feel confident that I can do this. There's certainly some element of this. Marcus Smart, like the shot that he takes with 18 seconds left on the shot clock, early in the shot clock, and you think, why is he doing this? But if the ball had been whipped around and Marcus Smart caught it in that same spot with 8 seconds left on the shot clock, but there were a couple of drives and then a kick out and he shot that, you'd say, okay, not too bad. So in his mind, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a thought of, why wait 10 more seconds when we're losing ground quickly? Why wait 10 more seconds to take a shot that I know I can hit? I have it right now. Let me just take it right now. I'm sure there's some level of fatigue somewhere in there. Like I've said, like, guys, just at some point at the end when the other team's making a run and you're feeling the wind come out of your sails, working the ball around is not appetizing. You feel like I can do this right now. I can take this right now. So there's a level of confidence. I'm sure there's a level of fatigue. Maybe there's too much confidence. But that's what they did. So it's hard to say without being them in that moment. And I don't know if we're ever going to get the answer, but that's my thought on that. I think that there's a level of just the feeling that each one of these guys has that they can make that shot. And each one of the other guys says, that's a good look. So take it. It's not, I don't think that's how it should have gone, but too late now, right? Like I said, Bam Adebayo was awesome, and I think that changed the game. Grant Williams was in there, and the ability to switch in the half court was great. They took the shooters away, and I thought that really, really helped. However, he did get exposed a little bit. I mean, his lack of height is a problem, and I think you saw Adebayo kind of take advantage of that. Guys took advantage of that. Grant was good. And the problem the Celtics had, the biggest problem, we saw that coming into the series, was how do you handle Adebayo? And he had the exact kind of series that the Celtics couldn't afford, and he killed him. I mean, he really was awesome. He really was awesome. Taking guys off the dribble, the fact that he's playing the five is insane. He's got the size and the strength to handle himself down there. The athletic ability, obviously, and his confidence is through the roof. He can make passes. He can hit shots. If he gets a jumper, if he can really get that mid-range jumper down, then he's gonna be an all-star for a long time. I mean, he's really, really good. And he was too much. On the flip side, Gordon Hayward didn't do much at all. 5 of 12, 12 points, just 2 assists, 2 turnovers, 1 rebound. Not enough. Just not enough. And I don't know, maybe we're asking too much of him. He comes back after 5 weeks off, and you throw him into the middle of a conference finals, and it's just hard to get going. It's hard. And he just could never do it. He was okay. He was good in game three, but he could just never. I don't know if he was fully ready. And it's again, 5 weeks off and trying to come back into the middle of a very rough playoff series. It's a lot to ask, and he just wasn't up for it. He just couldn't do it. He didn't have it in him. And so that's basically it. There are a lot of other things from the game, but again, I've talked for like 12 minutes about this game, and that's 12 minutes too much at this point. You don't want to relive it, and I'm done talking about the game. It's over. The Celtics lost. The season is done. So when we return, is the season a success or a failure? We'll talk about that after I talk about DoorDash. Now, I've been using DoorDash a bunch in this crazy playoff schedule because between Zoom calls pregame and Zoom calls afterwards and the games going on every other day, and there's just not enough time for me to get dinner. So I go to DoorDash. You know, with DoorDash, you can continue supporting restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash, and if you do not want to go into one of these restaurants, you just use the DoorDash app, and they can use your patronage. They need it now more than ever, so you can use DoorDash to support your favorite restaurants. They're counting on you now. While their dining rooms may be closed or limited, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. It brings you the food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is really super easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with new contactless delivery drop-off. Okay? You do not have to interact with anybody. And with over 300,000 partners in the US, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can still support your local go-tos, or you can go to one of the chain restaurants like Chipotle or Wendy's or Cheesecake Factory. So, keep your community safe, keep yourself safe with contactless delivery, and get the food that you want. And right now, you can get it $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your first delivery and zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. So the Boston Celtics season, is it a success or is it a failure? I don't like just measuring everything by championships, which is what we do in Boston, right? Especially after the run that Boston had over the past decade plus, two decades. The Celtics had a finals berth there. And man, I really wanted that. I really wanted that. Celtics-Lakers, it was right there. And I tweeted this out and some people gave me shit, but I don't care. The Lakers being in the finals, I felt like not only did the Celtics really have to get there, but I felt like the Lakers really had to want the Celtics. Like, if you're a competitor, if you're someone who loves the competition, you want to face the best, you want to face the rival. For example, Bill Russell in Game 7 of, was it 1969, the last title, when Wilt Chamberlain left with an injury and he was never put back in, and Bill Russell thought that Wilt was ducking him as the game was getting out of hand and the Celtics were winning. Bill Russell hated that and hated Wilt for it and harbored a grudge because he didn't just want to beat the Lakers. He wanted to beat them with Wilt on the floor. That's what you want. You'll take what's in front of you. I mean, the Lakers are going to, sure, you Heat, sure, let's go. They'll take what's in front of them. But gotta want the Celtics. Celtics had to want that the Lakers. Now, they're not going to let themselves get ahead. They were never going to let themselves get ahead to that. But that opportunity was right there. And now it's gone. And will it be there next year? I don't know. I mean, if the Lakers, sure, LeBron's going to be back. And who knows? Who knows? Who knows what LeBron's going to be? You never know when that age is going to catch up with him. You just never know. So that was lost. So in some ways you say, well, season's a failure. You didn't win a championship. But is that what we were really expecting this year? I mean, your expectations changed when it was Miami and you say, oh my God, it's not Milwaukee, it's Miami. Oh my God. Like we were talking about the other day with Chuck. But this Miami team, I don't know if you remember the beginning of the series when I did that crossover with Locked On Heat. I don't know if you remember me saying, like, I don't know. I don't like this series. I don't know. I'm not a big fan. I said Celtics in seven because there was no way I was going to pick against the Celtics. But this is not a surprise. This result is not a surprise to me because Miami didn't just beat Milwaukee. It wasn't that the story out of the Milwaukee series was, oh, well, that matchup was really bad for Milwaukee. Yeah, but Milwaukee was so good that they should have won more than one game. It's not just a bad matchup. Losing in five is not just a bad matchup. They got outplayed by a team that was playing extraordinarily well. The Miami Heat, with their additions, with Crowder, especially Crowder, they clicked. He was the right guy for them. And even though he didn't shoot well here, he was the right guy because he let everybody kind of slide into positions that they were more comfortable in, especially Adebayo at the five. They let them get rid of playing, you know, Myers Leonard. They didn't have to rely on guys to do things that they weren't really able to do. This wasn't the Heat team that the Celtics faced earlier in the season. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, God, they lost to the Heat. What a blown opportunity that is. No. Miami was good. They were always good. That fifth seed stuff, I mean, that's a product of earlier in the year. They were good. So I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh God, you can't beat Miami. That's a failure. Like, I've grown to feel that just judging things by championships is not the way to go. It's just not. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, what do you mean? Like, what are you, nuts? But it really takes away from the enjoyment of this season. Like, this season was a fun season. This season was a success. This is exactly where we thought the Celtics were going to bow out. I never had the expectation of them going to the finals. I thought they might, and they had a shot. But they got to the conference finals again. And as Chuck and I noted, with three very different teams, 3 out of 4 years they get to the Eastern Conference Finals with three very different teams. 1 year with Isaiah Thomas. 1 year with rookie Jason Tatum. Second year Jaylen Brown, Kyrie, and Gordon Hurt. Then we had the Kyrie year, and then this year. Those three Eastern Conference finalists were three very different teams. And yet, here they are, back, learning, growing, getting better, with a 22-year-old and a 23-year-old as your cornerstones, and 27-year-old Marcus Smart, and Kemba, who's going to be 30, I don't know when he turns 32, but okay, getting a little older, but for a third guy, that's pretty good. So I think this season is a success. These guys played well. They played, you know, they got the third seed. They swept past Philly. They won a hard fought series against Toronto, and they ran into really what was a team that was really good, that played basically 48 minutes, that never quit, that was great in the clutch, that probably has the best mindset for the bubble. They really just, it was, that's how it went. So it's not a failure that they didn't win a championship or go to the finals. I think it's a success. And then they can build on that success. I think their future is bright. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment after I talk about Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar I've ever had. You want to talk about a success? Built Bar is a success. 18 amazing flavors, whether you've got a nut allergy or not. If you've got a nut allergy, great. They have non-nut flavors. If you like something decadent, they have some really great flavors. And none of them are high calorie. So it feels like you're eating a candy bar, but you're really not. It's low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for a keto diet. My favorite one is the peanut butter one. So I pack a peanut butter Built Bar with me when I go to the gym, and here's what I get. 19 grams of protein, which is great. Right after I lift, right after my workout, it's perfect. 180 calories, so I'm not blowing out what I've done when I do my cardio. Just 5 grams of sugar, just 5 grams net carbs. Perfect. It's delicious. 100% chocolate covering. Beautiful. Go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at LOCKEDON Celtics on Instagram. Looking at this Boston Celtics team, it's hard not to be confident, right? We saw Jason Tatum take a leap, become an all-NBA player. We saw Jaylen Brown take a leap, become a borderline all-star. We've got Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, all under contract. Marcus Smart under contract for 2 more years, Kemba for 3. Jaylen Brown's extension kicks in. He's here for 4. Jason Tatum has 1 more year on his rookie deal. Then his extension kicks in, assuming he's going to sign a max extension this summer. This summer. This is September 28th. But we do that. Somebody asked him a question about the same thing. They're going to offer you a max contract this summer. We get so caught up in our terminology. it's autumn, but the Celtics have their core in place. We don't know what's going to happen with Gordon Hayward. You know, the assumption is that he's going to opt in to that $34 million, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe the Celtics and Gordon negotiate and come to an agreement on a long-term deal, and he sticks around as a role player, you know, a fourth option guy, finishes out his career in Boston, and signs like a 4 or 5 year deal to do that, to play for his college coach, to play in a situation that he likes. I don't know. But I think aside from an unforeseen circumstance, Gordon Hayward's going to be here for one more year. So your starting five is going to be back. Daniel Theis on a $5 million non-guaranteed contract. They're going to guarantee that. Of course. Enes Kanter has a player option. So Enes Kanter might be back, unfortunately, for some of you might think. But they've got Romeo Langford coming back. And hopefully he comes back after that wrist surgery and can kind of get a nice stretch of like healthy play going. Grant's going to come back, obviously. He's on a rookie deal. Robert Williams is coming back. He's still on his rookie deal. So most of this team is coming back. The only guys who are really a question, and this is barring trades, Brad Wanamaker is going to be a restricted free agent. So I don't know what the Celtics do with him. Semi Ojeleye is on a team option for $1.7 million. The Celtics might just pick that up. Because, and it depends on how they see themselves financially, but at $1.7 million, who are you going to get for $1.7 million? That's young and, you know, comfortable with the system. Continuity matters. So, yeah, Semi Ojeleye might be back. This whole team, it's going to be rare, but this whole team might be back. Seriously, the only real question here is Wanamaker. He's the only guy that is not under contract. Kanter is another one because he's got a player option. And I guess Hayward is one, but he's not going to turn down that money. So this is seriously like a run it back team. Everybody's here. Javonte Green is on a non-guaranteed deal for $1.5 million. You're going to tell me they're not going to bring back Javonte? Come on. Poirier might be the only guy who goes, but he's under contract for another year. So I don't know what changes this team is going to make. But we're looking at guys. So we've got the core. And you wonder, can Romeo step up and be scoring off the bench? Can Grant step up and provide a little bit more in his sophomore year? What moves are there to make? Just moves around the fringes. But you hope for linear improvement, which is not always guaranteed, from a guy like Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum comes in next year as the number one guy. He's the number one guy. Undisputed. Jaylen Brown is going to add stuff to his game. You can't imagine that he won't. So what elements do they add to their games? What does Marcus Smart come back as? He's got another year of experience as the pseudo-captain of the team. I mean, this team with Jason Tatum playing as an all-star, as an all-NBA guy, is different than last year's team at the beginning because he wasn't an all-NBA guy to start. Remember, almost a year ago, I mean, seriously, media day was September 30th, so this is September 28th. So a year ago, Jason Tatum was starting the season unable to make layups. Like, remember when he just couldn't make a damn layup? He added the sidestep. He added the step back. He added a lot of things during the course of the year. Next year, he starts the season like that. Jaylen starts the season with more in his bag. So the real questions are, can Danny Ainge add somebody to this team to help with some of the issues that they had? Or do guys on this team step up and fill those roles organically? This is still going to be a good team. Assuming that Milwaukee stays together, Milwaukee's still going to be a good team. Toronto's still going to be a good team, I think. Miami's still going to be a good team, I would think, because they're in a similar situation. They're not going to lose a lot of guys. So the Celtics are still going to be in this mix. The Celtics could still be a very deep playoff team next season. But what do they do to take that step forward? I mean, we don't measure, like I just talked about not measuring everything in terms of championships, but that is still the goal. Every team is put together with the goal of putting a championship together. So that is the goal. And I do think that next year, it's fair to say the Celtics are expected to do something. Like Danny Ainge should be expected to make a move to turn this team into more of a championship contender, a finals contender. There is, like, Brad Stevens has to find another thing. I don't know how NBA coaches find something, but added wrinkles to maximize what this team has. And really, the biggest question of these guys is, like, this year, I thought this year everybody loved each other. Like, they really did. Aside from that blow up in game four, like, I think this team, the chemistry, they really did. And I published the story. We had a bunch of quotes after the game that they really did love playing together. I think that was real. But each season is its own entity. And how does that work? How does that chemistry work next year with Tatum and Brown and Kemba and Marcus and Gordon? Like, are guys going to be happy as these new roles kind of shape up? Is Jason Tatum going to be happy with how he's used? I don't know. I really don't know. Like, there's never linear improvement. There's never, like, one step forward for everybody. There's always going to be a question somewhere. There might be. I mean, it's rare. I shouldn't say there's never. It's rare. They may just all just happily hold hands and take one big step forward as a unit, which would be great. The promise is there. If Tatum's going to add stuff to his game, he's going to see the things that he did wrong. He's going to see the things that he needs to improve. His ball handling, number one. Seriously, if Jason Tatum can tighten up that handle and he can get himself, if he can create more for himself in these tight spots, then that's going to be huge. Jaylen Brown to some degree as well. But they all have things that they can improve. What do? This team could very easily, end up in the NBA Finals next year. Very easily. Just with who they have, just with guys taking some steps forward. There's always the possibility of unforeseen, okay, I didn't realize that Daniel Tice was going to suddenly not work, or that Enes Kanter was going to come back and, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't feel like making things up. But the team has a bright future. A strong, bright future. So you come out of this disappointing end to the season, and it is disappointing, but you look forward to what they can be. If you like this year's team, they're all coming back, and there's a possibility that everybody can find improvements in their game, and they take a step forward, and maybe they're the 2 seed next year. Maybe they find a way to be the top seed. Who knows? I mean, it's right there for them. It's also possible that they slip. That's also true. That's also possible. And how do the Celtics handle that if they do? How does Danny Ainge handle that? How does Brad Stevens handle that if they do? We'll see. Oh, we got a lot of time to talk about it. And let me end the show by saying thank you to everybody. The listener numbers have been off the charts recently. which is amazing. I love doing this podcast. I love sitting here in my office talking to you. I know I don't see you, but I know I'm talking to you. I know that you're out there listening. I know that you're either in your car, maybe you put it on when you're taking a shower, or maybe you put it on when you're going to the gym. Maybe you listen 5 days a week. Maybe you listen 2 days a week. Whatever it is, I'm just happy that you listen at all. I want to thank everyone who listens, no matter how often you listen. I really want to thank you because you keep me going. I love doing this podcast. And the fact that there are listeners, it inspires me to keep going and finding ways. There are some days where I don't want to do one. There are some days where I'm like, oh God, what am I going to talk about? But I know that people are listening. I know I see people say, hey man, I love the podcast. Thank you. And I'm really appreciative of all of you who say that and reach out to me. And I think, you know, I've got to make sure that I'm putting out what I hope is a good product. And the season might be over, but the podcast still rolls on, still going. Now the off season changes a little bit. I'm still going to be 5 days a week for the foreseeable future, but in the off season, sometimes at some point we'll go down to 3 days a week because there's going to be a point in November or December that, you know, the way this season's going, that things will slow down. Maybe it'll be 3 days a week. Maybe it'll be four. Maybe it'll be five. I don't know. There may be a week where I do take a vacation and I say, you know what? No podcast this week. Or maybe I get somebody to fill in or something. But so there are going to be some changes in the off season for sure. But I want to make sure that you know that the podcast still rolls on every week. And for now, 5 days a week still. And I'll be looking at all of the things that we need to look at for the off season. And there's going to be more. We'll get exit interviews from these guys. There's going to be, you know, stuff to talk about as far as the rest of the NBA. There's going to be rumors that pop up for sure. There's going to be plenty to talk about. So I'll be here. I'll try to bring in some guests to add to the conversation. So again, thank you very much for continuing to listen. If you're new, if this is your first time, I hope you listen a second and a third and beyond. So subscribe wherever podcasts exist. You can listen to the show. You can follow on Spotify as well. Regular listeners, you know what to do. A 5-star rating is awesome. A good written review, if you can do that, would be great. And most importantly, share the podcast. People will ask, hey, do you know of any good Celtics podcasts? Please tell them that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.